Oh my god. Frankie, I'm so scared. I've never been so scared in my whole life. Where is everybody? Where's my dad? Where'd Tad go? Where's your dad, Frankie? I'm totally freaking out.
Where the hell is my dad gone? And where the F is Tad? Where's this man they call Jesse, who turned out to be Frankie's dad? But these goons of Gardner, they really terrify me. I can't have just one hero tonight. In fact, I need more than three. I need four heroes. I'm holding out for four heroes to go on the attack. And one's gotta be old, and one's gotta be moody, and one's gotta be fresh from Iraq. I need four heroes. And I'm just hoping that one knows how to fire a shotgun. And since one of them's old, and since one of them's fat, four's just gotta be better than one. Better than one.
Help. Tad. Jesse. Dad. I'm really scared over here. Think I'll just throw this wrench. Okay, now I'm gonna go. Come on, guys. Any day now.
This week on All My Children, the Justice League of Pine Valley Elders comes to the rescue of Colby and Frankie.
Erica Kane goes to jail. Again.
Ryan is either getting his memory back or spending way too much time watching his wedding video. And
where the fuck are Josh and Amanda?
All this week. On the Pine Valley Podcast.
Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Sugar Hudson. And you call me Sugar because that's what my mama used to say when I was little, that I was a little sweet boy.
Are you talking about my girl, Carmen Morales?
Oh, Lord, I love her.
I love me some Carmen Morales.
I got a lot to talk about. We got a lot to talk about.
I know, because we missed last week.
We missed last week.
That's right. And I was in Glen Burnie.
Where?
Glen Burnie, Maryland. Glen Burnie. It used to be the home of like the National Puerto Rico Association.
Puerto Rico Association.
But they went defunct a long time ago.
I would have hoped so. In Maryland?
Yeah, they couldn't find enough Puerto Ricans in Maryland.
No, what were you doing up there, Ashley?
It was Carlos's family and stuff. He had family stuff.
Oh, family stuff.
Yeah, family stuff. So okay. I had to go, and I didn't have my computer and a microphone, and I couldn't do a podcast.
Oh, okay.
And I was really upset about it because last week was such a good week.
Last week was a good. Well, I just want to say we have a lot to discuss. There's a lot going on in the soap world, and a lot of the drama's backstage, not even on the air.
It's true.
But what we missed last week. I mean, I know we can't go over last week because we got a lot to go over about this week's show.
We could talk a little bit.
But we got to talk a little bit because two big things happened last week.
Carmen Morales.
All right, well, you're going to start obviously with Miss Rodriguez. So I'm going to tell you right now, this is my problem with All My Children right now, is that they need to realize when they got a gem. And they have two gems right now that are not on contract, and they need to really sign these people up and make these characters like full-fledged characters because these characters are good.
Would one of them be Carmen Morales?
Yes.
Miss Elizabeth Rodriguez.
Who I've had the pleasure of seeing on stage here in New York a couple of times.
She is
phenomenal. You've seen her shoot
too? At the Labyrinth.
Yes.
Yes.
She is fabulous. And I love...
I'm culture, people. Don't be thinking that I ain't culture.
Yeah, she's cultured.
Anyway. I see some stuff. Besides Norbit. I do love Norbit, the movie. Eddie Murphy.
Norbit? Say it again.
Norbit?
No, I don't know.
Norbit. When he had a big fat wife,
I like indie
films.
Real mean. No, if it's not indie or foreign, I'm not really. Yeah, you like those Hollywood big budgets. No, I'm not. No.
And I like big budget. It's just funny. Make me laugh.
No.
I want to see College Road Trip.
Anyway, getting back to
Martin Lawrence.
What is this fascination you have with Martin Lawrence?
I like Martin Lawrence. I like Eddie Murphy. And I like, love Elizabeth Rodriguez.
Well, I got to tell you. Very talented. I got to tell you. You know what I'm loving about it? Because this is the kind of character that Agnes Nixon would have created.
Yes.
I think Ms. Nixon's probably watching this show and really happy. Because this character is just like all the ones throughout history. Donna, Estelle, Opal, when she first came on. I mean, this character has so much depth to it. And there's so much passion there. You could bring on a whole family for her.
I agree with one exception. What? And I think my girl Terry and Taranto would agree with me because Terry and Taranto was the one that opened my eyes to the kind of ridiculousness that started out with Sassy Pam.
What do you mean?
Sassy Pam was a little bit caricature-y when she started out. She was like, you go, girl. Come on, Erica, girl. It was like a little too much for me.
Yeah, but I don't
think... And I think Elizabeth Rodriguez is so brilliant that she can make any two-dimensional character three-dimensional. But I'm just, right now, it's a little bit stereotypical.
I disagree with you on that.
A tad bit.
I don't agree with you at all. You know why? Because there's a heart to the character. There's three dimensions to the character.
Listen, I'm not saying there's no heart.
The character was set up. But listen to me.
She's wearing a red jacket, purple pants.
And you don't know people like that? You don't have people in your family like that? Listen. Yes, you do. Because I know I do.
Armando the Noodle Ortiz is her man.
I love that. I love that because it reminds me just like Billy Clyde, Tuggle, and Estelle. It's the same principle. There are urban people like this.
I agree, as long as I see her become more human and less stereotypical.
I don't feel that she is stereotypical right now. I think she is very human. This is the kind of person. There are people like that that are not that educated, that don't come from money, and that are very street. And that's who this character is. Now, can the character grow and develop? Well, yeah, especially if she becomes friends with Erica. Look what Erica did for Opal.
But listen,
you forget that Opal wasn't the glamorous person she is now.
They brought a new Latina character on, and she's a little bit stereotypical.
I disagree with you.
I have faith that Elizabeth Rodriguez will change it.
The show had Maria and her whole family, and none of them were stereotypical.
I agree.
But you know what? Stereotypes start from somewhere. There's always a little truth. That's how you get stereotypes. As of right now, I don't think that this character is a stereotype. I think this is a young girl, and I love the heart to it. I love the fact that she's telling Erica that
she's
innocent.
She's a normal age.
She's innocent, and I love it. I'm loving this character, and I'm loving her, and I'm loving the possibilities.
I just don't want to see it go to stereotype.
I don't think they will. I think they need to just keep the character on, though.
Yes, I agree.
They need to keep the character on and bring a family. They need. This is the kind
I
of.
I want
to
see her fleshed out.
I think they are fleshing her out.
Not yet.
I love this week's episode.
We will get more flesh.
No. I just
she's been barely on. She had two appearances.
And this Friday's episode, she said a lot more to Erica about her situation.
Second appearance, people.
And I loved it. Loved it.
She's good.
And now the other character who they need to keep, and saw that some of you already made mention of it down in the. I still don't know how to like put my own comments on that. I'm not a computer person. No, I don't know how to deal with the blog. The blog is very. I actually wrote something and then I hit enter and it wouldn't like put it. And I don't know why. I'm not a computer person. I'm more an artistic person.
Or you could do anonymous. Yes, she's
sophisticated.
I'm cultured.
Yes, she's cultured.
Anyway.
And she's not stereotypical at all.
Listen,
they like that one.
I like Elizabeth Rodriguez and I like Eddie Murphy.
Anyway, they need to keep Sledgehammer on the show because he's rocking it. He is rocking on this show.
People, I'm on an island here. I'm telling you, I'm going crazy.
What, you don't like him?
It's not that I don't like him. I don't like and I never have liked the sinister thing. I think it's too one note and
I disagree with you. I don't think he's playing it that way. I think the reason that I'm liking him so much is because there is so much depth. And right now, I'm rooting for him not to be, like a lot of you people are saying, you don't want him to be the bad guy. I still say bring in Angie's father as the main bad guy.
And have him redeem himself. We have no reason for him to be so sinister. I see nothing.
But I disagree with you. Where have we seen that he's sinister? All we know is that for some reason he has some secret with Jesse's past.
We do know he's sinister because if you were listening, Mr. Jordan Hudson, you would have heard him say to the guy, the goon, that he would have enjoyed torturing Colby. And he told Jesse himself that he had a lot of fun torturing him. So it's like... And then he holds the... He could have just been saying that.
He could have just...
He holds Mrs. Remington's pendant and he's like, ha, 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 ha.
He did not go, ha, 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 ha.
He might as well have.
No, I disagree with you. And this is why, because that week that we missed,
I saw the whole show.
The week that we missed, he won me over in those scenes with Opal and those scenes with Tad. And this is why I believe that there's more to the character that we don't know. I choose to believe him when he was talking about the fact that Ray used to beat him up as well. Those were some well-written scenes.
I don't believe him.
They were so... I disagree.
He's manipulating.
No, I don't think that he was. Didn't he show some of the wounds?
He put those on himself.
See, you're assuming that because assuming that... No, I disagree. I'm hoping...
What happened with Richie?
But wait.
What happened with Richie?
I don't want to get to the Richie story because that's a nightmare. I'm talking about this right now. If the writers are smart, they would keep this character on and make him three-dimensional, make him redeem himself.
They didn't do it with Richie. They still have yet to have
because
that
I'm
man
hoping they're going
to
write Richie off. Richie's character's annoying, and he's annoying.
Super Poster interviewed him. Super Poster, you did an awesome job with that interview.
You just like him with his shirt off.
No, that's not true. I thought he looked good, but that's not true. I'm not that attracted to him.
Oh, okay.
I think he's a little goofy.
A little goofy?
Remember, I still think he's a little goofy.
But anyway, I like
his acting. Mm. He's very good.
Yeah, he's okay.
And he has a very good philosophy. Like, somebody, I think it was Super Poster, asked him if he would be, like...
A tree? What tree would he be?
No. Like, if he enjoyed playing a villain, and he was like, I don't play a villain. I play a guy who wants things a certain way. Like, and I thought that was really interesting. And he doesn't even go out that much. Like, he has a girlfriend. He doesn't go out that much. I think she's in L.A., he buys paint for his house. He's so into studying his character and stuff and doing all the right things and working hard. I like it.
Anyway, getting back to Mr. Robert Gardner, I disagree with you. I think he is fabulous. And
everybody
I thought those
else
scenes,
does too. It must be just me.
It's just you. I thought the scenes with him and Ty were amazing. And you know what I loved about it most was the fact that you got to see why Michael Knight is so revered.
He was phenomenal.
Did you see how... Not one thing in his face was just, he was listening to Robert Gardner talking, and the tears just came out.
Not even just
the
that.
The tears just came out. There was no huffing, no puffing. He just stood there watching him, listening to him, and the tears just came out, and my heart broke.
His face, I agree with you.
The look on his face after he wiped the tears away. Michael Knight deserves an Emmy just for that freaking scene.
Well, I loved Julie Hudson.
He was amazing.
Which
amazing.
I think we talked on the phone. I mentioned this to you. When he was just sitting there listening to Robert Gardner, all of a sudden his face went from just his normal color to started to get beet red. Like you saw the blood rush into his face and then the tears came out. It was amazing.
It was amazing. And see, this is why I get so mad, because if they can do stuff like that, damn it, then you can do it every single day. Because that's the way Agnes Nixon did it. That's the way Erna Phillips did it. That's the way Harding LeMay and all the great daytime writers have done it.
How does he and know this?
This
people?
Is what irks me about the show right now. Because you know we've been bitch. It
you
all
love
goes,
the show right now.
I love
all my children's back.
I do. That doesn't necessarily mean that they should be resting on their laurels or that everything's 100% perfect. I still think, and this goes for all the daytime dramas, not just All My Children. It's bad writing. Nobody knows how to write anymore. And part of it is the whole MTV generation. This whole quick thing. Everything has to be fast and you got to get to it. You're going to lose the audience. And you suffer on characterization and really well thought out plots. I mean, I definitely think that right now we're in a better state than we were a year ago with, you know, Satin Killer and, you know, Deadly
Pancakes.
Peter Butter Pancakes and all that nonsense. You know, we're definitely better. But this is what I'm talking about. I mean, in the old days, they would realize that these characters that they brought on are really good, and they would do something to keep them on. Because I'll tell you, I really love me some Robert Gardner and some Carmen. I'm really loving them.
I love Carmen. I don't love Robert Gardner. I still
and
think...
And I just think that...
Well, listen, instead of arguing about this, let's talk a little bit about the storyline. And then we could see where we agree and where we disagree. All right? Here's what I'm going to say. The basic plot to what I understand. Because, people, I miss part of Monday. I think all of y'all had the same problem. No, listen. The governor of New York. What? Why are you laughing?
Because you watch Chelsea Lately?
No.
You don't watch Chelsea Lately on the E! Network?
I don't even know who that is.
Oh, you gotta see. She has her own show. She's a half-hour comedy show on the E! Network Monday through Friday.
Oh,
and
no,
it's
she
like,
did not.
She does.
She imitated David Patterson.
She imitates him every time she talks about him.
Oh my
and she
God!
I'm sorry, but it's funny.
That's terrible.
We gotta watch some Chelsea
Our
Lately.
Our new governor, people, David Patterson, because Elias Spitzer did the nasty with a hooker. He is blind legally. Mm-hmm. Like, he has like a little bit of vision, but he's legally blind. So he kind of has, and he doesn't wear glasses, so he kind of has that cross-eyed look.
Uh-huh.
I don't like that, though. I like David Patterson.
Hey, yeah, you don't mind making fun of my Palmer.
I know.
Don't give me that. Anyway, you got to watch that. I don't, you watch The Soup?
No, I don't watch The Soup.
How do you not watch The Soup? Joel McHale's brilliant.
Really?
I think that if the E was smart, the E Network should put on Chelsea Lately, The Soup, and the Pine Valley Podcast.
We should
get the Pine Valley Podcast on the E Network.
We need to do something like that.
Or you know what? The way that they talk about the Soup talks about all the talk shows, we could talk about all the soap operas.
That would be.
What do you think, guys? Do you think we should be on the E Network?
See, here's my problem, though. I don't know, like I don't know any other soap but all my children. So I would.
Oh, have honey, to I know special. All of them.
I know you do.
I know all of them, and like some a rag on.
And like the folks over at Daytime Confidential, which I actually really like that podcast. It's a little different than ours, but I really like it because it's very informative.
Yeah, let me know about that. I'll listen to them.
Well, they had actually, it was funny because I was thinking as you were talking about writers, they had an interview with Victor Miller. I think he was As the World Turns.
Yeah.
And All My Children for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
He was All My Children for a while.
They all jump around like gym whores. They jump from soap to soap.
Well, let me tell you, Mr. Victor Miller, people, all right? It was like a March 13th or something like that episode of Daytime Confidential, which I'll give you all a plug, www.daytimeconfidential.com. He said of Miss Megan McTavish.
Ooh, what?
Brilliant. I kid you not. He was gushing over her.
Well, Mr. Miller, I lost all respect for you now.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't get it. Like, he said that you would have your episodes that you would give to her. And if nothing happened, she would give you the look from hell. And that if that happened more than 1 or 2 days in a row, you were out. If you didn't write something that captivated her, that captured her, that she liked, she would push, she would like slay.
Isn't she the head writer? She should be writing some stuff then.
But she does too. I know, but the
head writers don't really write. They just, they create the storylines and then the breakdown writers are the ones that write the episodes and stuff.
Exactly.
In other words, they get paid a lot of money to do nothing.
Exactly.
But come up with ideas. For that, they should hire me then.
Well, we all know that James Harmon Brown and Barbara Eisenstein, they wrote a lot of the episodes leading up to what we're seeing now because they scabbed during the strike. And yes, people, I'm still bitter about that, but whatever.
Whatever. How the strike?
I know. I got to get
over it. All right, Norma Rae. All right, Norma Rae.
I'm a union girl.
Norma Rae. All right.
So anyway, well, let's talk a little bit about the story, all right? Because from what I could gather, after missing, you know, part of the episode on Monday due to the media coverage of our new governor, David Patterson, what happened? Know is that I saw Angie walk in, Jesse and Tyler talk about some plan, alright? And Angie walks in and starts screaming, Jesse, no, I am not losing you again, Jesse, no! I don't know what she's screaming about.
She don't want to lose her man again.
Yeah, but it's every day, screaming. I'm going to say it now, people. I'm losing patience. All it is Jesse, no! I'm not gonna lose you again, Jesse. I lost you once. I'm not gonna lose you again. I can't take much more of it. And Jesse pulling out what little hair he got left. Oh, woe is me. I brought all you into it. I don't want you to be killed. I don't want you to get hurt. My son is in trouble because of me.
This is the part where we disagree.
Dad, I brought you into this, Dad.
Again, this is the part where we disagree. I personally love Jesse and Angie. They're the only problem that I have with the writing on that right now is they're rushing everything.
You're not hearing me, Jordan Hudson. I love them too, but I'm getting tired of the storyline and it's not ringing that complicated or true to me.
Because again, this goes back to the writing. It goes back to the writing. They're rushing it. Look, this is the thing that I'm talking about. Soap operas think that if they have anything meaningful on, that people are going to turn off. They want everything to be action oriented. So they're rushing through a lot of stuff instead of really playing the moments and the beats. I mean, think about it. Think about if your man had been dead for 20 years and then you found out that he was alive. Would it all just be like that simple to be back with him and everything?
You had a brilliant solution. Your solution was the solution. What? And they missed it.
What?
To have had Angie's father be responsible for him.
Well, Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean,
because now, listen to me. This is the problem. Right, instead of emotional and relationship oriented, it's all plot, 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 plot.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like right
and
now.
And then Robert Gardner is forced to play this one dimensional bad guy that I'm not that interested in. I'll be interested when he gets his second and third dimension. That's what I'm saying.
We still can hope because Robert still is answering to somebody. There's somebody else on the other line that Robert's talking to. We don't know who that is.
Proteus.
No, I think that's a fake. I think that they set
Vanessa.
Vanessa? Who's Vanessa?
Vanessa played Proteus.
Proteus.
With Leo's mother.
You know, but they bit. You know who they bit? They bit that story off of Brooke's mother. Brooke's mother used to be a drug dealer.
Oh my God! How does he know this?
You don't remember that? That's why I never really got into the whole Vanessa being Proteus, because that was Brooke's mother being the drug lord.
All right, well, listen, we're digressing huge. Basically what happened is, okay, this is what I think happened. You can tell me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
Tad wants to bring Jesse back to where all the action happened.
Right, so they went back
so
to
they
the...
Went, so they figured it out.
Where he was being held.
Right, and they go back to this place.
And Robert and his goon has set everything up to remind him about being tortured.
Mm-hmm.
So basically they go in.
There's this recording.
And there's a recording.
There's a voice that says, "Welcome back, Jesse." "Welcome back, Jesse. It's nice to see you. This is the place where you were tortured."
Or something like that.
You gotta do that little blue blue too. Yeah. Some little echo thing, like underwater or something.
So anyway. It's something like that. And then there's all these pictures. And poor Angie has to look at the pictures and go, "Oh my God. Oh, Jesse. Jesse." And she has to look at the videotape. There's a videotape of him being tortured. And
with his big afro.
And he pops in a tape. And he's like, "No, no, no."
But was she upset about him being beaten up with that big afro? No, no, no. Get a haircut. No.
That's a good question. But so, all right. So then they realize that they got to go. Right?
Yeah.
And then... Oh, Angie begs him to take this to the police because now it's getting escalated.
Right, right. And they don't want to take
it
to the police.
And she's right, though. I love that scene.
I love the scene.
She doesn't want him to lose his father again.
We're talking about the Pine Valley Police Department. May I remind you what a great job they did last year when the Satin Slayer was running around? Well, do you really want to go to them with this? I don't think so.
Well, I'm a little frustrated, people. Will someone please tell me if I'm crazy or not? Because Jesse is so selfish.
I disagree with you.
He's
I don't think
so
Jesse is self. I don't. I,
like me, me, me. Egotistical.
Yeah, she's sophisticated and educated.
Listen, I knew what I was saying. I meant egotistical. What I mean is, I feel like
he has big testicles.
He's not hearing his wife.
No,
his wife is saying to him, pleading with him, "I lost you. I lost you." And he doesn't care. And he's acting reckless.
I don't think he's acting reckless. Don't you understand? Because he has been on the run for 20 years because of this very reason. Because he didn't want to put his family in jeopardy.
But now they're
in jeopardy. Because they wouldn't let him leave.
Make matters worse.
He wanted to leave.
He's making matters worse. Why can't he go to the FBI? Why?
Robert Gardner is the FBI.
He ain't the FBI. He pretends he is the FBI. He pretends it.
I don't, but see, this is bad writing there because we're really confused. We don't know. I personally got the assumption that
he is FBI.
I got
the impression that he pretended to poor Mrs. Remington with a bad wig.
I don't think that he would be able to get around and do all the things he was doing if he wasn't FBI.
He's clever, like Tad Martin's clever too.
No. I think he's FBI.
He's like connected. He's like mafia. He could do anything.
Because then there was that great line where him and Angie were talking. Was it Jesse and Angie? Jesse or Tad, one of them was talking and they said, "These people could be the cops, they could be the FBI for all we know." And I was like, they are the FBI.
I don't get it.
Well, I think there's a lot we don't get. We don't know why that necklace is so important.
All right. Well, listen, we don't know that. Last week, people, you all know that Mrs. Remington cherishes her little quartz necklace that Remington gave her, that Remy gave her.
That's a big, ugly monstrosity.
It is.
That why would you wear that thing around your neck like 20 years of your life?
That thing is like a piece of cheap rose quartz. I'm telling you right now.
It's huge.
It's probably plastic too.
It's huge.
Don't want my children.
It's huge and it's ugly. I mean.
Well, in the meantime, people, we have what I consider a very likable storyline.
What?
Kobe and Frankie. it's gonna be a
I love me some Coke. You know why? Because it's traditional soap romance. They can't stand each other. And there's so much tension, and I love it. I love it.
One thing that I love that they're doing with this Miss Colby character, they have fleshed her. Ever since Megan McTavish disappeared, that girl has become a true, live, flesh and bones
girl. I love her.
And she's great. She gets into her car, people. First of all, I'm going to remind y'all that if you go to Pine Valley Hospital, you may want to take some kind of bodyguard, mace, pepper spray, into the parking lot. Because chances are good you will not come out alive. It's not a very safe place.
No.
So she goes.
It's kind of dark for a parking lot, too. Dark, did you ever notice that?
Very dark and very unsafe. So she goes in to start her car. And I guess, Monday interference. Did she have a fight with Frankie in the hospital?
Yeah, they're always fighting.
So what happened? Get my soul, papi.
Well, they had some, I forgot exactly what happened, but they had some disagreement.
You were and watching so David Patterson.
No, I was not. I unlike you, I had SoapNet. I wasn't in like Bumblebuck, Maryland. And so then she went downstairs and then she
that
so,
I know, but I didn't know about the fight. Well, her car wouldn't start.
He just put her down like he always does.
He put her down like she didn't know what she was doing. She's like, I happen to know cars. I totally know cars.
No, the fight. He was putting her down there. And then they went, and then she was playing that music so loud. I thought
it was funny.
And he was like, turn the music down. She's like, what? He's like, turn the music down. She's like, what? And then she opens the car door like, okay, what are you telling me? He's like.
But then she knew what she was talking about because she's like, I know something about cars. Duh. So she opens the hood and she sees that someone cut her wire and that Frankie's trying to help her.
And Frankie was like, nobody cut your wire, girl.
And then all of a sudden they're working and they look up whoop, and they see one of Robert Gardner's goons.
You know, and it's so funny because for me, that came out of left field. Like, I really didn't think that they were going to rush the storyline so much. So I didn't expect that they were going to kidnap them.
Yeah,
so I was through the whole episode waiting for them to show my Colby and Frankie again with this guy. And then the next thing I know, at the end of the episode, they got kidnapped.
They have, like, that was good. Their mouths are tied.
That was good because I was getting frustrated. I was like, where's my Colby and Frankie? I want to go back to my Colby and Frankie. And that, for me, came out of left field when they got the little picture. Wow. And I loved it.
Well, like Jordan said, the pictures come, and then Tad and Jesse realize that Colby and Frankie have been kidnapped.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty good. And we see them, and they're like in the plane, right? But like in the cargo area. Yeah,
they're being held in the cargo area of a plane.
And this is what I really liked. I really like this stuff. Well, first of all, Jesse and Angie realize that Frankie is caught. And poor Angie. I was saying this to Jordan, and it's going to start another fight, so I don't know if I want to say it.
No, go ahead, say it.
I was saying to Jordan that I feel like they're giving Angie so much, Debbie Morgan, so much, like, pain and craziness and trials and tribulations to deal with that she is, like, working so hard to cry and, like, to scream and this and that. And, like, when they found out that Frankie was kidnapped, I found their responses odd. Like, if my son was kidnapped by this guy that tortured my husband for 20 years, I think I would be on my knees, like, not able to stand. You know what I mean? Like, she was like, oh.
What was that? I don't know what that was, but that wasn't Debbie Morgan.
It was weird. I don't know. And Jesse was like, damn.
But see, I got to say something. You know what? Because a lot of you don't know
he
Jesse
hates
and Angie.
Today, people.
A lot of you don't know Jesse and Angie. I'm not saying you. I'm saying a lot of people. And I can understand for a lot of people that they could think that maybe Darnell is overacting. But he really isn't. He actually is really brilliant because he's portraying Jesse the way Jesse is. That's his Jesse character because he was on Guiding Light recently playing this totally different character that was sophisticated and an assassin. And it was a totally different thing because at first I was like, and I forgot, that's just the way Jesse is.
Yeah.
Jesse was very like volatile, very off the hook, very
that
screaming, yelling, and very ghetto. And I love that. So I don't disagree with you. I did tell you that I do understand where you're coming from. And again, it goes back to the writing. I think they're writing this all way too fast. You're not smelling the roses,
the
as they say.
The story has some holes.
It has some holes, and you're not fleshing things out, and you're not giving them. There's so much meaty emotional scenes that you can have.
Well,
I mean, think about it. How many scenes have we seen with Jesse and Angie, like, really just together and bonding again?
That's my problem with it. I want to see that. I want to see love.
I want to see the love. I mean, it's being rushed.
Like, for example, one good opportunity, which I really liked her portrayal, was when she actually, and I was actually freaked out by it because she told him not to rescue Frankie.
She didn't say it like that because she even corrected herself.
She didn't. You're right. I don't mean it to sound like that. No, you're right. It was really interesting.
And she caught herself. And because she said,
she basically said that she can't lose him. That he's basically saying that he'll trade his life for Frankie's, and she can't lose her husband. She doesn't want to lose her son, but she knows she doesn't want to lose her husband. And she has faith in Frankie because of his Iraq training, mm-hmm. that he could make it out, that he will take care of himself. So she pretty much orders Jesse to stay, and he don't want to go. And that's where I got mad at him, because he's not hearing her. Over and over, she's saying it, and he's not hearing her.
You got to realize he's been on the run.
He runs out. Tad stops him. So,
ooh, wait, did you? There was a big flub. Did you catch that?
Yes!
With Tad. I did. And Tad was talking to Crystal. He said, they got him. They got Frankie and Angie. And I had to rewind it. And then I said, did he say Angie? And I had to put it on mute because I wanted to make sure. And I put it on mute and the little captions came. And he said Angie.
Cameron did that a couple weeks
ago. Somebody dropped the ball.
Cameron did that a couple weeks ago.
Don't they have like a continuity person or somebody to watch for this sort of stuff?
He called Blandy Kendall.
Did he really?
And she didn't notice it. It wasn't a purpose one. It was a mistake one. She didn't notice it. Really? I think she did. I think the actress did. But I think that they have so much to take that she just let it go and he let it go.
Yeah, they were like, I want to just go home.
Yeah, exactly. I'm telling you. It was one of those flubs. You know what I mean?
Don't tell anybody. That way we could just go home.
It's like, what's wrong, Kendall? And I was like, he just said Kendall.
I didn't catch that.
You tell me if you heard it, because I heard it. I definitely heard
the Angie one. But see, but then I did have to say that as the rest of the week went on, as much as I really wish they weren't rushing this, I did like everything that was going on.
I know you did. I had problems with it. But let me rush through the rest. I'll rush through the rest.
All right.
So basically, at that point, we think that Jesse and Tad are going to stay put. All right? Angie leaves. And I think she goes, is that when she goes with Crystal to see Miss?
She goes to the hospital. She has an idea. She meets Crystal at the hospital.
Because Crystal's looking for Colby at the hospital because she thinks maybe she's there, you know?
Yeah.
So they meet at the hospital after Angie's looked through all the footage. And then Crystal and her decide to go to see Mrs. Remington because there's no footage of Frankie and Colby getting abducted.
Right.
So they go to see Mrs. Remington. Poor Mrs. Remington with that wig. Ooh, that is a bad wig. I was really hoping it would come off
when
they found her on the ground.
Well, first, how did they walked in because they came. They went
and
to
the house is broken.
The house
into.
Is broken into, and then they put the lights on. I think Crystal notices the first and says, "Oh my God!" Yeah. And she comes running over.
Oh my dear Lord!
Oh my dear Lord!
What happened here?
Sounding like something out of a Carol Burnett skit. Yes. Eunice,
and Angie runs over to Mrs. Remington, who is on the ground. I've fallen and I can't get up.
She did not say that.
No, she didn't say that.
She was like, she was like. My necklace.
I can't breathe. I can't breathe. I swear she said I'm falling. I can't get up.
No, I love Mrs. Remington. I think Mrs. Remington's a hoot.
I wish they had killed her off.
I wish they had killed her off either. I was like, I like me some Mrs. Remington.
So, in the meantime, now then Derek comes.
See, and this is my problem with rushing the storyline. First of all, I mentioned this in the last podcast I did, that I was upset that Angie mentioned seeing Derek, but they never showed the scene. And now, for the first time, the two characters are seeing each other, and they have a history together.
You're right. And they're so good. They're both so good.
We should have seen the scene where she first saw Derek, and Derek was like, oh my God, Angie, you're back in town, blah, 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 blah. This is what I call bad writing. In the old days of soap operas, this kind of stuff would not be missed.
I should play miracle music.
What?
Because I agree with you.
I know, finally. I mean, but I have to say, it was great. And he's not the original Derek. And she wasn't the Angie that met Derek. It was the second Angie, Sandra Quatermain, who was involved with Derek.
Why don't I remember second Angie?
Because she was like second Greeley. I was just kidding. I know you used to be fans like hating me right now, but I had to say it. she was not well liked.
Wow. All right, so then, people, because
it wasn't radio. I had to say,
we got a lot of cross storylines, so it's kind of hard to get through.
Okay,
so we'll leave Angie with Derek, and Derek's all kinds of suspicious that Angie's at a place where a woman was found murdered. Dead.
But they covered. I think Kerr and Crystal did a good job trying to cover it and explaining it. It was really well written stuff.
They did.
Like the scene was good, and I saw some chemistry between Mr. Derek and Angie.
I did too. Actually,
Jesse might not have that much of an easy road that he thinks.
Can I tell you though? I was gonna say that I actually saw more chemistry between Crystal and Derek than Crystal and Tad.
Yeah, but you know what? They're not gonna break up.
No,
Crystal
I know.
And Adam.
Listen, I know that. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that's how bad the chemistry is between Crystal and Tad. There's no chemistry.
Well, I don't think there's supposed to be chemistry. I think at this point, the writers want it to be that the two of them are just together for the baby. I don't think that they're, you know, because she had that. Oh, but we haven't gotten to that yet.
Well,
with Crystal and Adam.
No, we haven't gotten to that yet.
So I can't. Yeah, let's jump ahead.
Okay, so let's jump it back a little bit. I mean, if we jump back, we'd have to jump all the way back to the dinner at Adam's place. I don't want to do that. Do you?
No.
Well, so okay, so if you want, we'll skip back to Colby and Frankie, but we did miss a couple of really great Crystal and Adam moments.
Yeah, we did miss a good, and the thing that I loved about it was that, because this goes back to what you were just saying right now, is the fact that she was telling Adam, because he was like getting up to be like Superman at his age, you know, like Jack LaLanne. He was like, I'm going to go rescue her. This is my daughter. You got to tell me what's going on, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, don't you, Adam, don't you go do this. Don't you say it. And he's like, you don't love Colby. She goes, I love Colby. She goes, I love you. And she stopped herself because she said, I love you. And he, so infuriated, didn't even pick up on it. Because usually Adam's like a sharp nail when it comes to stuff like that. So you know his mind was on rescuing his daughter.
Yeah, but prior,
because he did not pick up on the fact that she almost said you.
But earlier in the week, we had a beautiful Crystal and Adam moment where he told her that she was the beautiful, that Jenny was the beautiful part of her. That he could never hate Jenny because Jenny was her.
That Adam.
I like that
He could
scene.
Be a silver-tongued devil when he wants to be.
All right, well, so anyway, in the meantime, we got Angie dealing with Derek and Crystal. We got Tad and Jesse and Adam, which we haven't talked about. And we got Colby and Frankie trying to get loose. Now, they get loose because Frankie, with his Iraqi training, trains Colby how to get loose. Because
he's Black MacGyver. That's like on the superheroes. You know, there's always a black superhero. They call them like Black Lightning, Panther.
He's MacGyver.
He's MacGyver. I liked him, though, as MacGyver. He was funny.
He was good.
He was good.
I love him so much. So then, what I loved about it, though, do you remember that moment where they get out of the things, right? And then they hear, and Colby's freaking out. And he's, like, trying to shut her up and being like, shut up, you damn woman, blah, blah, blah. And they hear the guy coming back. And as the guy opens the door, they've rebound themselves in all the tat ropes and the bandanas. And they're going, blah, 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 blah. Like acting, and I loved it. And then the second the door shuts, they get out of their ropes easily because they're off, which was great. That was the coolest moment of the week.
Yes, I loved them.
That's
I love the two of them.
Well, then Frankie and Colby get into it a little bit. By the way, I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Does the actor that played Robert Gardner wear eyeliner?
No.
He's got a little shadow under his eyes that looks like
eyeliner. Stop picking on him already.
He looks like eyeliner. Anyway. And what's with them paper planes? What's with them paper planes?
Because that's going to be the way Jesse's going to know it's him. Eventually, Jesse's going to put two together. Because Jesse remembers. There was a scene where Jesse remembered.
Origami.
Origami. The one thing Jesse was remembering was the origami.
I'm not culture. Dag.
Excuse me. I'm Latin. I'm not Asian. I don't know how to pronounce origami. I don't even know what an origami is until now.
It's a folded little animal.
Well, good for you. You got 1 out of 5 today. Anyway, so that's probably how Jesse's going to know and eventually put two and two together that Robert Gardner's behind this. Because that's his little thing. Everybody has their little quirks.
Dumb. The Satin Slayer had peanut butter. No, he had his gardenia.
You know, he was on, the Satin Slayer was on, the actor who played Zach's father was on
Lipstick Jungle.
He wasn't bad on Lipstick Jungle in comparison to,
whatever.
You know.
Colby freaks out on Frankie. That was good. And he kind of beats her up for being the little rich girl. And can I tell you, I think you have pointed this out.
What?
It's a little bit Jesse and Angie, because remember Jesse used to tease Angie for being the little rich girl?
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
I'm telling you, I like the storyline. I like them as a couple. I know a lot of you are worried about the age difference. It's not that big of an age difference. Good Lord, Palmer was married to Donna. That was an age difference.
All right, well, this plot is driving me crazy. We are so far into the show, have not talked about anything else, and we can't get through the damn storyline.
I love the storyline.
Basically, you have Adam busting to Jesse and Tad's house.
And that was some great stuff, but again, rushed. I mean, imagine if you come into a place and somebody you thought was dead for 20 years. Like, Adam just, you know, but I love the fighting between Adam and Jesse, because you know what? Jesse and Adam were not pals back then. So that's true to the character. So all that stuff was good. And the way they were insulting each other and putting guns on each other and fighting, I loved all that.
Can I say one thing?
What?
You're not going to like it.
What?
You know how Jesse keeps showing people his scars to show how he was tortured?
Mm-hmm.
I keep looking at those, like, two little stripes. And I'm just like, it's not that bad.
They're not two little stripes.
I don't believe it, though. It doesn't seem like if his whole back was aflame and like crazy ass, like scarred, then I would be a little bit like, whoa,
whatever. That's crazy. Anyway, it was good stuff. David Canary, Darnell Williams, and Michael Knight were fabulous together.
But I like it was good. It was funny though because like Adam is now packing heat.
Like, I know.
That's really funny. And the other thing I kind of like is that I like the strategy. Like Adam and Tad are going to go after the kids.
Yeah.
Because Jesse's going to go after the big guy. Mm-hmm. And they also have faith that Frankie and Colby are smart enough to help get themselves out of
it. Yeah, there was like, what was that? Because Adam was like, what makes you think that, you know, your son's going to do it? And he's like, because my son's a soldier. And he won't let anything happen to himself or your daughter. I was just loving all the dialogue and stuff.
It was good.
Jesse, I was riveted. Riveted to the screen, I was.
All right, so finally, Jesse gets to see them. Now, people, I have not elaborated at all on the spooky voice, the whole voice changer thing. Like Robert Gardner, when he talks, he disguises his voice. And it reminds
me. Like Brooke's mother.
Yes. And like Proteus. It's a very common, bad guy thing. I know my children. So anyway, there was someone on the blog that said it reminded them of that movie. What was that movie again?
There She Goes Looking Stuff Up.
I am going to look it up because our viewers are very astute. Our listeners and our viewers.
Ooh, she said that word right.
Astute. Who was it? There was someone in our. Oh, it was Jill. Jill said something like, "What the hell was that voice, Jesse Hubbard? Welcome back. Is this like Saw 5 Pine Valley edition?"
Oh, I never saw that movie. That's a big budget film. You like those garbage movies?
I didn't see those though. I don't like those. I don't like the blood and gut stuff. That's not true. I don't like the blood and gut stuff.
Okay.
I don't like people being sawed up and stuff. I don't like that. I don't like that. I'm a peaceful person, Jordan Hudson. A peaceful person. So here we are in the story. Basically, what you have is you have Frankie and Colby have been put back in their little storage cabin area. So then you have them two. They're loose. So they figure out how to get out. And what I love is the moment Colby was scared. She was going to go with Frankie and they were going to go make a run for it. And she said, "Frankie, I'm scared." I love that. I thought it was beautiful.
I thought all their scenes. I love the fact that they both realized how much they had in common.
Yep.
Not growing up with their fathers. I thought the dialogue was really good. And I thought they established how these two characters are going to fall for each other.
I kind of blew off, though, how Tad and Adam got in that car accident. I kind of blew that off.
Oh, because Adam.
Chest pains.
So yeah. It looked like. But I love the fighting. Those two were. But the only thing is, see, and this is what I'm saying. The writers are very simplistic. They used the word idiot like 80 times in those two episodes. Tad called Adam an idiot.
That was your
Adam
biggest gripe. Called,
yeah, I. But see, this is what I'm talking about. Like, the writing is very simplistic. I miss good old fashioned writing with a good old tough dialogue and intelligent dialogue. I mean, I love when they call each other idiot, but after a while, it's like, okay, yeah, we, you know, think of another word besides.
Well, basically,
idiot.
What happens is, so Tad and Adam finally make it after fighting. They make it to the hangar because they're all at the hangar. Jesse has made it to the hangar where Robert Gardner has his voice distorted and he's talking behind two bright lights, really mm-hmm. super bright lights. Now, Jesse is talking awfully confident. For someone who was running for 20 years from a man that he was terrified of, he is awfully confident standing there at that light
all right,
talking about
that. See, you're wrong. He's not terrified for himself. He's terrified for his family. Jesse has no fear. He could care about himself. He's worried about his son and his wife.
All right, fine. I'm not going to move with you tonight. I'm only going to try it more. So then Frankie creates a distraction.
No, he tells Colby go, and Colby throws it, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he tells Frankie go. And
what does she throw?
She throws a wrench.
A wrench.
She throws a wrench.
And then
you have these special effect ending, so we don't know what happens until Monday.
But basically what happens is they throw a wrench and someone goes, huh? And then Colby makes a run, and Frankie makes a run.
And Jesse goes back Jesse like somebody shot
back
him.
Like someone shot him.
And then the last thing you hear is Adam going,
oh.
Oh, and, no, and going, you do hear no. Colby going, no.
And then in the scenes for next week, you see Adam crying over Colby. What do you think happens to our little Miss Colby?
I don't think she got shot.
Nothing.
I don't think she got shot.
She probably like tripped on her sock or something. Cause she
well,
didn't
she
have
had
no
shoes.
Yeah.
Well, obviously,
it took us
40
minutes to tell that story.
Obviously, we did not agree. I love this. She didn't. So, go figure.
Let's talk about really quickly Erica Kane.
Okay.
Not much to talk about.
Well, we kind of already talked about the fact that she went to jail.
She got sentenced.
Again.
$5 million she got to pay.
And then she met her cellmate.
She met Carmen Morales.
I'm sorry. I'm your biggest fan. I love you.
Can I tell you, though? First of all, I loved Elizabeth in those scenes. But can I tell you that last week, when we did, which we didn't cover because I was out in Glen Burnie, Maryland, I really loved the Erica and Jack scenes last week.
Again, we are not agreeing this episode of the podcast.
We're not agreeing.
No, honey, I already told you what I think. I think it's time for Walt Willie to be retired.
They flash back to him, and I actually was like, oh, that's right. I remember when they were good together.
It is so scary that I think they're going to put Erica back with, like, the minute, like, Carmen said to Erica,
but he took care of
her. Don't you ever
have,
like, a soulmate or whatever? Oh, Lord,
he took care of her a little bit.
No. Let Jackson have a heart attack and die like his brother and move on, Erica. Move on.
All right,
if it was meant to be, it would have worked by now. Obviously, he's not the one.
Well, all I know is Elizabeth Rodriguez as Carmen Morales is brilliant. She is been, she had, like Erica, is an innocent victim and has been framed. And so...
And she's crazy. I love what she I love what she told Erica.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to kill him. When you see my face, that's... she was nuts. I love
we
her.
We see a little of Sam Woods, like, trying to be the good guy, but I don't really care.
No, I
Do you care about Sam Woods? I don't.
No, he's made as much of an impact on me as his son.
You know what it is? I don't like his hair.
I don't like the fact that his head looks like it's going to fall off his shoulders.
He's got like a 1980s hairstyle.
And he's got like a Weeble Wobble head.
Yeah, something, right?
They needed somebody like Blair Underwood.
Oh, my God.
Or Morris Chestnut.
They could not get either one of those people. Who the hell is Morris?
You don't know who Morris Chestnut is?
No, I know Morris Chestnut is, but why the hell would he be on a soap?
Oh, I don't know, but him and Erica would,
Yeah, I don't know. Something about Mary Van Peebles. He's too corny for me or something. Mm. I'm not seeing sex appeal with him. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you're the one who thought he was an A-list star.
He used to be.
We're not going to get back into that.
There's not much to talk about. Kendall and Zach. Nice moment with Kendall and Zach. Mm. Where she finally confessed to him.
Yeah, it was okay.
Just you okay.
Know, you know why I'm losing... I told you this before the podcast. I'm losing interest in this storyline because I feel like the writers don't know where they're going with this. I felt like at the beginning it seemed like they had a plan. And right now, I think they're like not knowing where to go because it seems like a lot of you guys do not want Greenlee to hook up with Zach.
She's going to be with the new Jake Martin.
I think so, too. I think that's the route they're going to go. I think they're waiting for the new Jake because I'll tell you this. And somebody asked blog? Somebody had asked us about that. And I got to say, I personally do not really care for Ricky Paul Golden. I can appreciate the fact that I think he's a good actor. But I don't find him necessarily appealing. Like, I don't like watching him. But I'm not saying that he's not a good actor. I think he is. And I think he'll probably be like, he'll make a good Jake. He'll definitely be a really different Jake than the last Jake.
I think he'll be a great Jake.
Yeah. I mean,
I like the character
and I think
Jake Martin.
I love the character of Jake Martin. I like the first Jake, though. Michael Lowry.
Oh, yeah. I know who
he's
talking
about. I thought that him and Marcy Walker had great chemistry. And I thought they could have had that triangle between him, Liza, and Adam going for years.
Don't you think that Jake keeps coming back younger? He's got like the opposite of Soros.
There's a couple of characters like that on daytime TV. But yeah, I agree with you. But Ricky Paul Golden looks good for his age. He's not a spring chicken.
That's true.
He's not.
But the second Jake was too young.
But I actually think that he will have a lot of chemistry with Miss Rebecca.
I think it's possible.
I think they will have a lot of chemistry. And I got to tell
She's got to get rid of A Dumb. Laura is my girl. She wrote on a podcast that she thinks Aiden is A Dumb.
Yeah.
I love it. I like it better than Cladumbo.
Okay, so it's Adam from now
Adam.
On. Adam.
Adam.
Well, I got to tell you, I don't know.
She looks like she can't stand. Rebecca Buttock looks like she can't stand
no,
when Aiden touches her.
Yeah, there's definitely nothing
he
there.
He kisses her like from behind. Like they were sitting at Fusion and he was kissing her neck from behind because it was like you could almost feel it that she couldn't.
Because he's an idiot.
He's Adam.
Look, I think they need to get rid of him. And I'm losing interest with this whole story because I really don't think they know where they're going. But I will say this. Liza Kobe's name was mentioned a lot this week. Bring Liza back. And again, Beth Chamberlain on Guiding Light would be great. But not Beth Ehlers. This is what I'm talking about, rumors. Beth Ehlers, who plays Harley on Guiding Light, who used to be with Ricky Paul Golden, she supposedly is ready to leave Guiding Light when her contract's up. She is not right for Liza Kobe, and I hope they're not even thinking of that because she is no Liza.
They might be.
Ugh, no, no.
I want to run through Blandy and Ryan because I don't think in Richie. I don't know. I'm not that interested in Blandy and Richie.
No, I told you. I don't think they know where they're going with this.
I don't get how Richie could be in Pine Valley Hospital getting treatment without every single one of his records being transferred from the so-called hospital in Austin.
There's a lot of plot holes in this storyline.
You think?
I mean, first of all, how could he get... Who is he that he has the money and the power to get...
He stole from Ryan, as he's trying to say, remember? He said he took the money from Ryan.
But where does one go find a doctor that's going to do this procedure?
I know, so stupid.
It's
the hardest thing. It's the most, probably one of the most complicated, like, things to do.
Convoluted storyline.
Actually, I shouldn't say that. It's not like it's complicated to do, but it is complicated to recover from. You take a year to get your life back, just about. And you have to be kept under, like, the most sanitary conditions. You know what I mean? Like,
well, that's why they're sick. That's why everybody's getting sick. I know. He's sick, JR's sick.
I know, but it's just like, I have to give the actor playing him, Billy Miller.
Clyde Tuggle?
No.
Oh.
Billy Miller credit, because I think he's really looking very sick and very, you know, like.
No, but that's the makeup people. They did a good job. God forbid they would have put a little bit of that on the Greenlee's eyes, so we would have believed she was sick when was dying.
Blandy goes to see Richie at the beginning of the week. He rejects her. Of course. Why would it be any different? Why does she bang her head against the brick wall? Bang, 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 bang. Why does she do it? He's going to be a d*** to her no matter what.
Because she's Blandy.
God, she's bland. Anyway, she leaves all shaken up, and then Ryan comes for his date. Now, Ryan has been thumbing through the wedding pictures, so he's ready to, like, tell her that he remembers everything when he don't. And so she rejects him. I like that.
That was good.
And in the meantime, Richie's, like, having nightmares about JR, which I loved evil JR. JR's like, I'm in your bones. I'm in you. I'm part of you. I loved it.
Brokeback Mountain.
It was delicious. I loved it. I like JR lately. Can you want to know something? I'm going to admit a big secret.
What?
It's a huge secret.
What?
I'm starting to like Babe and JR together.
Don't you dare say that. Take it back.
I'm sorry.
Take it back. Take it back.
Okay, I take it back. I take it back. Stop. Don't torture me like you tortured Jesse.
I will give you JR, but under no circumstances will you tell me that you like new Babe.
Listen, I didn't mean that I like new Babe. I kind of like them together.
Oh, Lord.
I'm liking it.
All right, and I got to say something because, you know.
It was a little porno, though. In Richie's dream, like his stupor, he dreams that JR comes in with Babe kissing him. It was a little porno. She starts making out with him and stuff.
The dream wasn't the only thing porno to me. I got to tell you.
It was porno.
I got to tell you, it wasn't just the dream. I don't know if you noticed, but there was this nurse that was, like, helping Babe and.
With the coveralls.
And JR with the coveralls.
Yeah.
First of all, what nurse has her hair looking like she just came out of, like, a Vidal Sassoon commercial?
That's not her fault.
I know, but, like, her hair was, like, all over the place, fancied up. She had a lot of makeup on. She looked like a hoochie. And then she was kind of really seductive with JR and Babe. The hoochie nurse, I don't know, it's kind of kinky.
Well, basically what happens is that he gets worse and worse. They call Babe. She goes in with JR. And Jordan is cracking himself up, let me tell you.
Well, I thought it was weird.
It was a little strange. So, at the end of the episode, when JR comes in and Richie sees him, he's so tormented in his dreams that when he sees the real JR, he threatens him. So, JR gets wise to this.
Mm-hmm.
So, JR kind of excuses. Actually, Richie asks to talk to JR privately, and that's sort of when JR threatens him.
Right.
JR threatens to smother him with a pillow. And I love it because as cool as a cucumber, Babe walks in, as cool as a cucumber, he goes to put, and he puts the pillow behind Richie. It was awesome. I like that.
Yeah. No, I like that scene. That was a good moment with the pillow. I love that.
But, you know, we didn't talk about it real quickly at the beginning of the week, that dinner. Why do Crystal and Babe have to have, like, an 8-course formal meal with Colby, Adam, and JR at the table at the Chandler Mansion? Adam don't want them there. They don't, quote-unquote, want to be there. So why are they having, like, an 8-piece course meal?
Well, because they got to eat.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, why put them all on the family table?
But that's what they do. That's what rich people do. They have the family dinner.
They supposedly hate each other. Why would they be having this big meal? And, you know, I was looking at the plates, and Carlos kept looking at them plates. There was no food being eaten on them plates.
Because ABC can't afford that anymore. Now they just get the illusion.
Fine. Oh, so let's go back to Blandy and Ryan. Ryan comes back the next day trying to get all good with Blandy. And he he starts lying about remembering stuff. He lied about remembering her chicken pox. She kind of didn't buy it, but then she kind of hopefully did buy it.
Well, she, you know, you believe what you want to believe.
And then she meets the Scooby Gang at Fusion.
Scooby Gang.
You know what I'm saying? And she meets them. And then Ryan comes and he gives his big, huge-ass apology to everybody, right?
Yeah.
So.
Again, I don't think the writers know where they're going with this.
Greenlee called him on it, though. Greenlee called him on him faking his memory coming back.
But is it just me or do you feel like the writers don't know where they're going with this?
I think they're afraid. I think they're afraid because I think the powers that be actually do care a little bit. And this is a good place to segue, people. I think the powers that be do care a little bit now what we think. Because the fans might just revolt if something happens with Kendall and Zach. I don't think that they could push Zach with Greenlee now. I don't think it could happen.
Well, that's a little bit good and a little bit bad. I think this is, and I know where you're going with it, but I think the problem, my feeling is that because of these now, like, blogs and stuff like this, producers are looking at this as the gospel and thinking that every fan feels that way. And the few vocal people that really, because I personally, I don't have the time, I'm sorry, to, like, write anything on, like, a blog or something, voice my opinion. A story needs conflict. There needs to be movement and moving forward. And if you don't do things, then everything gets stale.
But when you do things that are so the opposite of what someone would really do, like a Zach character or a Greenlee character, that's why people revolted. But listen, that's why people revolted on Sabine. Because her very nature, like everything she did in every single way was so not Greenlee.
No, I agree with you. But I so honestly
if Zach, like, and Kendall break up, then there is no hope left for anybody because Zach is such a, you know, he's such a by-the-book guy in so many ways. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's so loyal. That's what I'm saying.
Right. But if he were to find out that Kendall slept with Aiden,
that would be the only
that
thing.
Would be could be the trigger. See, this is it's all about the writing. Would be uncomfortable for me all too. About the execution. I don't
know. You might be right. You might be right.
I mean, you need look. All I can say is that they laid the groundwork for the possibility. I would believe something happening with Zach and Greenlee. There was another soap that just did something recently like that, and they rushed through it, and it was really badly done because it wasn't believable. Well, at least here, there's the potential for it.
Well, fans are really speaking out, and they're speaking out, people, for Miss Katie McClain. Now, people, I think we mentioned a couple weeks ago, Jill asked me to mention that fans can go to tadanddixie.com, TADNDIXIE.com, and help sign the petition and send letters and stuff and get instructions on how to send emails and stuff demanding Katie McClain's return as Dixie. Now, I got a little spoil for y'all, and it ain't my spoiler. I read about it on Superposter's blog. You can go to his MySpace page at www.myspace.com/superposteroftheyear. And he had a couple days ago, I think, that... You want to do a spoiler alert?
Yeah.
Woo, woo, woo! Spoiler alert. Turn down your iPods, your computer speakers, all that good stuff if you don't want to hear this. All right. For people that do, Katie McClain will be back to All My Children.
Tell them how.
As an angel that will help Tad find Kate.
Oh my God, is Megan McTavish coming back?
I want to kill somebody.
I don't like this.
Now listen. The hardworking folks at tadanddixie.com and our friend Jill have helped at least made the powers that be think twice about Miss Katie McClain and have her back for a few episodes. What I'm saying to y'all is that she needs to come back.
As a regular person, not as like a ghost.
I know. That's my only problem with it, is it doesn't leave the way for her to come back as a regular person.
I told you how to bring her back.
The shower curtain.
No.
I don't care.
David.
I don't care if she never freaking died. I'm telling you, don't even explain it to me. Just have her come out that shower naked saying, Tad, I want you to make love to me. That's all I need. That's all I need.
I just, I don't know. An angel.
I know. Remember Jillian as the angel? Oof.
Why remember Cindy? Jillian when she was alive.
Oh, I like Jillian. I liked her.
No, Cindy could come back. I love me some Cindy.
All right. Well, listen, people. Please do go to tadanddixie.com. Send all those emails. Send letters. I mean, we really have to speak out and really get Dixie back. Because I think they're listening now. I think they're starting to listen. Don't you think?
I'm so worried about myself.
I know. We got Angie and Jesse. We got Rebecca as Greenlee.
No, I mean, I'm worried about my soap operas as a whole. I think the whole, all the soap operas are going to go off the air. They keep doing all this craziness.
Well, you told me Guy Didn't Like got extended another year.
I know, because their ratings didn't go down, not because their ratings didn't go up. Wow. The only reason they got extended was because the ratings didn't go down. They saved money. I'm so scared that all the soap operas might go this route, because I still cannot get into it. I watch it. I'm looking at somebody's nostril one minute, and the next minute, I'm looking at somebody, like, buttoning their jacket. That's not what I want to see.
He hates the people.
I really hate it.
Well, I don't want to end on a sour note, because you love, you told me my All My Children is Back. You love the story.
I do feel like my All My Children's Back at times. So there you when go. When I see people like Sugar, and it reminds me of Opal. You know, I don't know if you knew this, but Opal was not supposed to be a regular character.
Oh, I think I knew that. That's right.
Opal was supposed to just come on. All right. And abuse Jenny so that the Martins would take Jenny in to replace, you know, Tara, because Tara was off the show. And they were supposed to bring her in, like, but Dorothy Lyman was so good.
She was great.
And the fans loved her so much that they wrote in and they made Opal redeemable. And this is what I'm talking about. Sugar and Robert Gardner can be regular people on this show because they're that interesting and those characters are that fabulous. I love those characters.
All right, well, I will buy that. All right, people, I'm so glad to be back. I hope you enjoyed the show this week. I'm always so glad to have time, even if we are spending half the show disagreeing.
I know, we really disagreed a lot.
I love having Soapcyclopedia Hudson on air. So anyway, thanks, people, for listening. If you want to write us and disagree with us all you want, you can email us, pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com, or you can go to our MySpace page and leave a comment, send us a note, do whatever you want to do. myspace.com/pinevalleypodcast, or you can just go to our website and you can do all of that. www.pinevalleypodcast.com. I'm your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Sugar Hudson.
And here's a little something just for you.
Is it Dixie?
Will you show me your treat now?
Riverside. You know something? I lost a quarter here. A long time ago. I was a little older than you. And this was a long time ago. Do you know what a quarter used to buy back then?
A car?
Some quarter.
Yep. Well, I looked everywhere for that quarter. All over the place. I looked everywhere I could possibly think of. Never found it. You know something? You know the one place I didn't look? I guess we found it. Guess we found it after all.
Kate.